I want to share some word with you, so get your Bibles out. I believe go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, I think is where we're headed. Yeah. Proverbs 8, 1. This afternoon I was coming home and I was channel surfing, and so I hit one of my buttons and it went to the news channel, and the person was on the news channel was interviewing a pastor who was talking about a book or something he wrote or whatever. I didn't recognize the guy, I didn't recognize his name. Anyway, so in it he was talking about that he was talking about, I got a bunch of thoughts running through my head right now. I don't think I'm like on drugs or anything tonight. I just got a whole bunch of different thoughts running through my head while I'm trying to talk at the same time. So anyway, he got to talking on there, and he was talking about how there needed that, you know, that in the last days it talked about there was going to be a famine on the earth, and the famine was a lack of the Word of God, and how we in America need to get back to the Word of God and the things like this, you know. And I was like, hey, you know, come on, really preach it, you know, come on, you're doing good. And then he went on. And I was just like, if I could have just somehow, you know, snipped the airways so that it didn't get out, you know, because the word he said later was that, sometimes we don't always understand what God's doing and, you know, this and that and the other, but God gives us thorns in the flesh sometimes to just, you know, this. And I'm like, oh, dude, why didn't you just shut up before you got to this point of making God out to be the bad guy? And so then it was like the Holy Ghost just started speaking to me and started talking to me about what I want to share with you tonight, which is Proverbs 8, verse 1. It says, does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift up her voice. Just keep going. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths are met. Okay, look, go back up for just a second. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. So in other words, it's not hidden. Right? Wisdom's crying out. It's not like it's in a back alley somewhere where you couldn't hear it. It's wisdom's crying out on top of a hill beside the way where the paths meet. So in other words, the main intersection. Right? Okay. She cries out by the gate at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. In other words, obviously, right out front. She's not hiding anywhere, okay? To you, O men, and I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come the right things. In other words, so let me put it this way. God's always speaking out. In other words, the voice of wisdom, the voice of God never, ever, ever, ever stops crying out. We don't hear the voice of wisdom sometimes. We don't hear what God's saying it sometimes. But that doesn't mean God's not crying out. That doesn't mean the radio's not going, that the God waves are out there, that you just got tuned into another channel. The other morning I was coming in, Sunday morning, I always listen up to the radio broadcast to make sure it plays that I'm on. And so I was listening to myself, and I was at a really good point, and all of a sudden another station bled over, you know. And this other guy starts talking. I'm like, who's this? You know, why did he cut in on me? What are you doing in the name of Jesus? Get out of there, you know. And then in a minute, you know, as I got over the hill, it cleared back up, and I was like, look at this. Somebody probably thought that was me. I mean, if they know my voice, they know it wasn't me. But I mean, it was like this guy was, it wasn't even, you know, anything Christian. It was just selling cars or something. I don't know what it was. But I was like, people are going to think that was me, you know. And I was like, isn't that funny? Because, you know, that's what happens to us. At some points in life, we are hearing the voice of God coming to us, speaking to us. We're hearing the voice of wisdom crying out. But then sometimes doubt and unbelief begins to bleed over. Right? Or the voice of the world, or the cry of, you know, insanity is screaming in our head also. And then, you know, it's bleeding over. And so we're getting part God, part crazy. I mean, don't y'all agree we got a little crazy in us, right? And so the voice of wisdom, the one thing you need to stand on, the one, and point number one here, if I have points, I don't have any notes, but I got points, is that, you listen, Just because you're not maybe hearing clearly what God is saying at that moment doesn't mean that God's not speaking. Y'all with me? He's always speaking. We just got to get ourselves in the place to get tuned back in. And you're not going to get tuned back in unless you've got a heart of faith that's seeking to hear God's voice. I mean, there's been times in my life I was mad and I wanted to stay mad and I didn't want to talk to God about it because I knew if I talked to him, he's going to tell me to forgive or whatever. And I didn't want to do that. So it's like, okay, I know. I'm just not going to look at you. I'm not going to talk to you right now, Lord, because I know what you're going to tell me. Right? I mean, have we all, I mean, come on. I'm just being real here. I mean, I just tuned him out. My wife, she can tune me out. Sometimes I need to be tuned out. You know? But our heart of faith is a heart that's always got to be crying out, God, I want to hear your voice. Because the problem is the longer we stay out of tune, the farther off the trail we're going to get. Right? Okay. So let's go to another verse here. Let's go back to Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Everybody say, this is my heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So in other words, wait a minute. Life is right there, but in order to get the life, you've got to get in tune. Right? And then when you get in tune, the life comes to you, but that means that you could be out of tune. You could not be hearing because you got to get it in your heart. Okay? So, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now, this is what we were talking about last week. I think we were. I was talking about it to somebody if this wasn't Wednesday night because I couldn't find any notes because I didn't write those down either. But we're talking about keeping our hearts, right? We've got to keep your heart with all, because out of it springs forth the issues of life. Look, if you let something get into your heart, it's going to cause you to become out of tune of hearing the voice of wisdom crying to you. It's the reason why you're not hearing God is because your heart's not right. Now, your heart could not be right for several reasons. I don't know that I could say every reason. You know, there could be all kinds of things. But, you know, you could not be hearing, you know, your heart be out of sync and not be hearing God because, you know, you're disappointed, you're discouraged, you're whatever. You just could go on and on, right? You're in unforgiveness, you're in anger, you're in jealousy, you're, you know, whatever, all right? So if your heart gets off, then you're not hearing wisdom. So then it takes us to the place to where our hearts have to be right. It's like the utmost thing that we have to have in life is our hearts right, correct? Okay. Now, if you look over, let's go to another scripture here. Matthew 15, verse 8. I've always been amazed when I'm reading the scriptures at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, they were the religious people of the day. They knew the Bible forwards and backwards. But yet the Son of God standing right in the middle of them, and they didn't know him. That just doesn't make sense to my head how somebody could know the Bible so well but be missing the greatest event upon face of planet Earth right in front of them. You know, it just doesn't compute because they should have known God. They should have known. Because listen to me, if you're going to ever hear the voice of God, you have to know God. Because God's going to line up with his word. God's not going to say anything that does not line up with his word. If you think you heard something, but it's not the Bible, you're wrong. Forget it. I don't care if you saw a vision of plum fairies dancing in front of you and they were pointing, saying, this is the way, this is the way. I don't care what it was. I don't care if they left feathers in the room. It wasn't the Holy Ghost if it doesn't line up with the word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, it ain't God. Because God is the Word. And the voice of wisdom's crying out is nothing but the gospel, God's Word, going out. So some people want to say, well, God's Word would be like, you know, yay, hey, thus saith the Lord, go do this, go do that. But, you know, the bottom line is, it's going to have to be the Word. Y'all with me? Within text of the Word. I was reading this crazy story this morning over in the book of Judges 7, I believe it was, about Gideon's sons. I think it's 7. We don't have to go there because we're going on here in Matthew, but y'all remind me I'm in Matthew 15 here in a minute. But where, you know, after Gideon has the great victory, then he goes and kind of just kind of basically goes a little on the wacky side, got everybody to give him some gold, and he made him a big house and got him a, must have had a bunch of wives because he had 70 sons. So it doesn't, I didn't see where it saw said how many wives he had, but I mean, or if there was just a few, man, they were producing some kids. I mean, you know, 70 sons, didn't say anything about the daughters. So anyway, then the time goes by, and then one son rises up and kills all the rest of them. And I'm just, and then but there was one hiding, so he didn't get killed. And he goes up on a rock and he comes with this great big prophecy. And as I was reading it, I was laughing. I was like, man, dude, why don't you just get to the point? I mean, this guy stood up on this rock and he just, I mean, this is an elaborate word that he spoke towards his brother, you know? And if you read it, it was just funny to me. I mean, it struck me funny. It was just like, he didn't just get up on the rock and say, God's going to get you. But in the end, that's what it was. And at the end, that's what happened. The prophecy that he spoke did come to pass, and his brother died exactly like he had prophesied he was going to die from this thing. And I was just laughing at this whole situation. And then I backed up and I looked, and it says, and Gideon's heart was turned away from the Lord. And I thought, wow, that's where he got off from hearing God. And then he raised his sons not to really hear God. They knew a principle, but they didn't really know him. Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did the same thing. Somewhere in life, they got off reading the word, but not knowing the author of the words. Right? They knew what the word said. They knew, because they could read it forwards and backwards, and so they knew how the words went, but they didn't know the author of it. And I thought, what a shame that they were such students of the word, yet missed it. And look what Jesus said about them here, Matthew 15:8. He said, these people, he's talking about the Pharisees there. You can go back and read the other verses before it, but it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. So they did it intellectually, but they didn't do it with a heart that beat for God. They had a knowledge of God in their head, but nothing in their heart. And so because God wasn't the ruler of their hearts, well, then that allowed them to just be able to get off and never hear the voice of wisdom crying, get out of tune and out of sync with God. And they weren't hearing what was going on. Okay. So let's just throw this on us today. I mean, these guys had a Bible study. Y'all with me? But the fruit of it was no knowledge of God, just the words. Right? Their heart wasn't in it. Their heart, you know, maybe they wanted to be religious figures because that gave them, you know, a big view in man's eyes, or, you know, a certain position of authority, a certain position of prominence or something like that. You know, it was all wrong because they didn't know the author of the words. They didn't have that relationship with him. And when they didn't know that, they got off and their heart got off. And when their heart got off, then it was just a train wreck. Because they didn't have anything. They didn't have anything to hold them in place. So immediately they started making other laws that let them skirt the law of God. Y'all with me? In other words, it's like, okay, we want to be perceived as godly, but we want to do it the way we want to do it. So there's a few things we don't really want to have to do, and they make us uncomfortable, so we don't really want to have to do that. And so we're going to skirt around it by adding this to the law and saying, well, let's do this so we don't have to do that. Follow me? It's a dangerous thing when you read the Word of God and then you're convicted about something and you don't do anything with it. It's a dangerous thing. Because what you're doing is you're setting up your own religious seat of authority, deciphering the Word as you want to decipher the Word, you know, so that it comes out the way you want it, to your best advantage. And have you ever noticed that it always comes out into the advantage of we didn't have to do what we didn't want to do? We didn't want to have to be stretched. We didn't want to have to become uncomfortable. We didn't want to have to. You with me? Yesterday when I got home, I was tired, and all I was thinking about was going home and kicking my feet up. But I have been challenging myself because I've just completely forgot about exercise. You know, I sort of grabbing the scripture. Paul says, bodily exercise profiteth little. And, you know, like kind of had that up on the, yeah, it's underlined, highlighted, you know, the whole nine yards. And so, anyway. But the little thing in the back of my head kept telling me, you know, Robert, you got to get back. You got to start. You know, so, man, it was so tempting because I went in the house and there was the chair and I was like, and, you know, quickly remember the scripture, you know, exercise profiteth little. And I was like, you're just trying to make things the way you want it to be. So, you know, it was a pretty day because I knew it was going to be bad today. So, you know, I went and put my shorts on, drug my shoes out, dusted them off. You know, I went for a walk. Wasn't very far, wasn't very long, but I'd made myself do it because I knew that's what I needed to do. You follow what I'm saying? This is what happens to us in life with the Word. The Word comes into our life and hits us, and then we're like, ah. I remember when I first got saved, and I would try to read the Bible, and I would sit down to read it, and the phone would ring. It was like there was somebody outside looking in the window. And I was like, this is nuts. And so I'd take the phone call, and then I'd get to the phone call and sit down and go back to read the Word. Phone would ring again. I'm like, this is impossible. And then, so finally one day I said, you know, I'm just going to read and just let the phone ring. And you know, shortly after that, it never happened again. But it's like there's so many things in life to come in. When the Word, when we finally get in tune and we're hearing God, because the only way we're going to hear Him is we have an amount of the Word of God within us. You see, you cannot stand there and go, okay, God, I want to hear your voice. You're not going to hear nothing. Probably pop a blood vessel or something. You're going to hear God's voice when you get the Word of God in you in such a volume that all of a sudden then God can speak to you because He's speaking His Word through you because His Word's in you. It's in your heart. It's there. That's how God's going to speak to you, through His Word. Now, does that mean, you know, certain scripture is going to pop up? Well, maybe. Does that mean a principle of God is going to pop up in you? Yeah, maybe. I remember the very first time I ever really clearly heard God speak to me. I believe it's Psalms 4. I was sitting there on the side of my bed saying, God, I just want to hear from you. I just want to hear from you. Lord, I mean, I just really want to, you know, I want to hear your voice. I didn't know anything that I'm teaching you now. No one had taught me anything. I didn't know anything. And so I said, God, I just really want to hear from you. Oh, come on, Jesus, speak something to me, man. I want to hear you. Nothing, just a void. And I remember I closed my eyes and I said, oh, come on, man, Holy Ghost, come on, just something. And I remember just as plain as day, with my eyes closed, I just saw Proverbs 4, I think it's 4:12. I don't know, I'd have to go back and look at that. And it says, sit down upon your bed, meditate, read my word. And I was like, because I went, I got a word from the Lord. You know, okay, and I was sitting down on the edge of the bed, crying this out to God. I was like, oh, okay, now I got it. I supposed to just read the Bible, huh? What was it? 4:4? It just meant, it's just right there, pong. And I was like, wow, okay, Lord. And that's when I really started really buckling down and discipling myself in the Word and reading the Word and looking at what the Word said, because then after that I realized, wait a minute, this is how God's speaking to me. This is the wisdom crying out. This is what's being heralded when I throw open this scripture and do this. And then I got to notice, and every time my heart got off, I quit hearing. Every time I was angry about something, or something wasn't going right, or this or that, or I was worried about finances, or I was worried about this, or worried about that. You know, folks, we just, worry is the opposite of faith. It's doubt. And so whatever the worry is in your life, it's just that much doubt. You know, I'm just really stuck in the Proverbs tonight, and I can't remember all of them, but what's the proverb that says that if you faint the day of adversity, your faith is weak? So in other words, what's happened to you is if you faint, and doubt and unbelief is coming into you, you've got more doubt in you than you have word in you. Y'all with me? What's happening is that the voice you've been listening to, and folks, it doesn't take very long to listen to the doubt, to the radio, to the things that are going on in the world to just get you to where you just want to run to the mountains and dig a hole and hide in it with some food and a gun. Right? I mean, if you look at our world today, it's just spinning out of control. And what's funny to me is the people that I know are not church people. I'm not going to say they're heathens, but I'm just saying they're not churchgoers, and they're not students of the Word. They're not really reading the Word. They're just talking to me all the time, and just, you know, they're just fed up with everything in the world. It's fed up with all this and fed up with that. And it's like all of a sudden, it's like the godliness within them is being provoked too. It just took it longer to get provoked. Okay? So, look at Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Mark 7, 13. Now, this is in the same, this is Mark's, when I was just reading Matthew 15, but it's the same story, what Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says, he was rebuking them. He says, look, you've made the word of God of no effect through your traditions, which you have handed down for many such things. In other words, what they were doing by skirting the law, he says, man, you've made the word of God of no effect in your life. So every time your heart gets off, okay, Isaiah 55:11 says the word of God is always going to, right, succeed, or always going to, it's never going to return back void. It's always going to accomplish what it's sent out to do. But it's through our doubt and unbelief then that the word doesn't come to pass. I've always thought of, like, you know, when Jesus asked the two blind men, you know, he says, what do you want? They said, we want to be healed. And he said, well, then according to your faith, be done to you. And what would happen if just one eye would have popped open? Like the guy just had enough faith for one eye, not two. Would he have just wore a patch on his eye the rest of his life and said, darn, I wish I'd have had more faith? Everywhere he went, they said, that was a guy that only had half faith. Or what if he got vision, but it wasn't good vision? You know, it wasn't 20/20. It was, you know, maybe he's nearsighted or farsighted. You know, I don't know. But he said, according to your faith be it unto you, right? So what if he was just barely believing? Just could see, but he couldn't see really, you know, what was going on. Just... And it was through their traditions or the things that they were doing that was causing their heart to get off that caused the Word of God not to be of effect. Have we ever thought about maybe what was coming out of our mouth? Because Jesus also got to talking about there. He says, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a man, but it's what comes out. You ever get to thinking that maybe it's what comes out of our mouth that stops everything from happening? I've had the Lord speak to me before almost audibly and say, would you just be quiet? And see, that's scriptural because he struck Zacchaeus dumb. If he wouldn't have, not Zacchaeus, Zachariah, struck him dumb, he couldn't even speak because if he would have, John would have never been born. Because he said, Lord, how could this be? This can't happen. He said, man, I got to get this guy to shut up. Boom. He can't talk no more. I got to get John birthed and he ain't even going to get nothing done. Don't you know that was a lesson to learn? I mean, man, when John was born, right? His mouth came open. He could speak. But you know, man, he towed the line after that. I mean, that was a lesson to learn right there. Boom. And I guess he still was a priest and he was still probably burning incense, you know, and going through the whole thing that they'd always had before. Don't you know? He was like this, okay, Lord, really, I'm believing. I'm just, it's okay. I'm going to burn this. Whatever he was doing in the temple. Probably the whole time was talking just to make sure that he could still talk. I mean, you can go read it. It was his own mouth that kept causing him to be struck dumb. Okay, so one more scripture here. Matthew 22:37. Y'all know it. So Jesus was talking to the whoever he was, a scribe or Pharisee or lawyer or whoever he was at that point, and said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, right? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Right? So if we're going to move in the things of God and we're going to hear the voice of God and we're going to walk in the wisdom that's always crying out to us, man, the most important thing we can do is keep our hearts right. And everything in this world wants to pull us off of that. I mean, why do you think in churches there's so many splits and offenses and breakups and cliques and problems within a church? Because, I mean, even the enemy knows that if he can just get Christians to get off with their heart, get mad at the pastor, get mad at the praise and worship, get mad at the Sunday school teacher, get mad at somebody, just get off with their heart, well, then he's got them because nothing's going to happen. And he doesn't care if everybody joins on a Sunday morning and sings praises to God. It doesn't bother him a bit. As long as there's no power, nothing's getting done. All right? I mean, he doesn't care how many churches are started and formed and church committees are set up and they have bazaars and get some money and even maybe donate money somewhere. He doesn't care as long as the church isn't really functioning in power. All right? That's what he's scared of, if the church functions in power. If the church is going to get into an agreement, they're going to love each other, watch their hearts. That's what he's scared of. He's like, oh, wow, we got to do something here. We got to call somebody some offense so that we can get something, get them all tore up so their hearts will get off, so then the Word of God will be of no effect, because that's going to always produce seed, and seed's always going to produce victory. Victory is going to produce the power of God, and more people are going to get saved, and the more people are going to believe, the more good things are going to happen, and I got to cut that thing out. So he says, it's just real easy. Just get some people offended and get them talking. I mean, what a strategy. He doesn't have to do anything. Doesn't have to have the exorcist or poltergeist or nothing. Just get some Christians talking. And the whole thing's defeated. Then everybody's just going through motions. Nobody's really getting saved, set free. Nobody's really getting any victory. The Christians that are right or staying right, well, then they're just frustrated, you know, and so he's got them where he wants them to be, and so he just works the whole thing out. While the whole time, the voice of wisdom's crying out. Loudspeakers. I saw the most unusual thing the other day. I was watching some documentaries, and it was called The Ghost Army. And it was World War II, where this whole, it wasn't that many of them. There was like 25 guys that they picked them out of the service, and some they went to and asked them to come join, that were all with radio and artists and people that worked in theatrical situations, setting up props and stuff like this. And that's the company that they used to start with camouflage. And, you know, when they did the tank battles, when they were trying to fool the Germans, and so they had these blow-up tanks that they would take out there and set all these blow-up tanks, and then they went to one of the air bases, and they, it wasn't an air base, excuse me, it was a military installation, and they recorded, it was, you know, because they were just then getting the records in and knowing how to do records, and they recorded the tank tracks going, and they recorded, you know, different sounds of motors and stuff like that, and they got all that recorded on there, and they had, it was an enormous amount, like 1,800 different records of different things, and they took these huge, one of the guys that they were interviewing says, yeah, it was the original boombox. These things were huge speakers that they put on these tanks and personnel carriers, and that they would project them over there to where they knew the Germans were, and they could reach 15 miles. And they would put on the record, and they would, you know, drop the needle the whole nine yards, and they'd start playing tank tracks moving. And they would do all this stuff, and they would run up and down, and they would take bulldozers and run out, and they'd make tracks so that if the aircraft went over, that they had these dummy, blow up tanks, trucks, personnel, everything. And it would show them, they would go up underneath there, like four of them, and get underneath the tank, and then they'd move it, set the thing down. It was the craziest looking thing you'd ever seen. And it was all just to fool the Germans to think, well, wait, the attack is coming here because our planes went over, our reconnaissance planes saw that there was X number of tanks in here, you know, this is, you know. And then they would hide them. They wouldn't just put them out in broad daylight. They would hide them up in like the brush. And then these guys would come out that knew how to do props, and they would paint, and they'd paint trees, and they'd get all this stuff up, and they'd hide it all up in there, you know. And then they would dismantle it, and they would move it. And that's all this troop did the whole time. And the only problem, it said all these guys were talking about, they were interviewing them because they were still alive, was that one day they realized, wait a minute, we're getting them to believe this is where the army's attacking. What if they start shooting at us? Because they didn't even have guns on them or anything. You know, they were just like, I mean, these guys, it was so funny to watch them because they were like, oh, you know, let's put a tree over here, you know, and they were all artisty bunch of guys. There was no military, you know, guys in the bunch, and there was no brute guys who were all just out there. What do you think of they're putting trees? No, they'll put it a little. So isn't that what the devil's doing to us in a sense? He broadcasts this malarkey. And he moves some artillery around, but it's all just inflatable plastic. Some dummy tanks, whatever. He just moves them around, looks it look like he's really big and bad. And we forget that we have the name of Jesus. We have all the artillery to do whatever, and then we get distracted. And say, oh, it's over here. Oh, and the third part of that was radio people. And they got these guys in there, and they taught them all the military jargon, and they would go into a town knowing that there would be some German spies in the town. And they even sewed. They had guys that knew how to sew. And they would make their own patches, and they would put on whatever the patch in, like, you know, this is just numbers I'm calling it, but it's like the 7th Army or whatever that they knew were supposed to be in that area. So they'd make up a 7th Army patch, and they'd put them on their arm, and then they'd paint them on the front of their trucks, and they would drive into town and start walking around, and they'd go to the bars. And then they would start talking pretty loosely and let everybody hear what was going on. And then they'd go get on the radios, and then they'd start doing all the jargon back and forth, you know, that was military terms, because they knew the Germans were going to be intercepting it. So, they just fed these guys a line of bull. And the biggest one was right when the invasion of went in Normandy and all that. There was a big deal going on with that to, you know, fool the Germans. And it worked. And the whole time I'm sitting there just looking at that saying, wow, the devil is a master at this. He's a master at when. How many times have you gotten like a really good revelation from the Word and you're all happy and excited about it, you know, and then the tire's flat or somebody calls or something goes wrong at work or whatever, you know? He's a master at it. A broadcasting the bull, all the malarkey. And then we pick it up, and then we quit hearing the voice of wisdom. Amen? So, I mean, I think that's what the Lord's trying to say to us. Don't forget there's power in His name. Don't forget about that. Don't get over there. And if you've gotten off and you've gotten listening to it and you know it tonight, well, then all you got to do is get tuned back in. And you can do that real easy by getting your heart right. Glory? Well, praise God. Look at the person beside you and say, that is a good word for tonight. Well, ushers help me. Let's ush.